wants to get ripped off, broken into, or robbed, but nobody wants to pay a lot of money to have their home protected either. I've got an offer to tell you about to provide home security for your home for less than a dollar a day. For real, with no installation or equipment charges. And this is from a company rated number one by a leading consumer research company. According to the facts, most of you won't even call unless there's a burglary in your neighborhood or something bad happened. So let's give you a reason. Save money. For less than a dollar a day with no other costs, you can get your home secured. Plus, get a lifetime equipment replacement warranty. You need protection for your home. Call the home security hotline right now.
800-561-6198. 800-561-6198. 800-561-6198. Again, that's 800-561-6198.
Welcome into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline, the interactive radio network program with the latest in high-tech products and services and the experts who bring them to you. This is Into Tomorrow. Here's Dave Graveline.
Delighted that you've tuned into Tomorrow for the weekend of March 29th, 2016. From the Dexcom studios, the future of diabetes management is here. Visit DEXCOM.com to learn more. I am Dave Graveline, Erasmo, handling all the editing, H out of New York City, doing show research and web posts and all that kind of good stuff. And here, joining me in our Miami studios,
Chris Graveline, and this week's birthday girl.
Oh, Beth Gatrell.
Yes. Oh, what, you forget it's your birthday?
Yeah, kind of.
Well, happy birthday, Beth.
Why, thank you.
Glad to have you in the studio. Sure, you didn't show up the last 2 weeks, but your birthday, you're here, and that's good.
Because you knew there would be cake.
Yeah, that's true. You knew there would be cake, didn't you?
Finally.
So you came in for cake. But everybody wish Beth a happy birthday. I hear people screaming at their radio even as we speak. Keep both hands on the wheel.
Thank you so much.
Both eyes on the road, if you're driving, even if you're not. And happy birthday to Beth. And, of course, tech news and commentary. And then we get into more of your digital dilemmas. Let us try to solve any questions, concerns, issues you may have about consumer tech. Oh, and we have another batch of wacky, fun, unique, bizarre things that are somewhat arable names for Wi-Fi routers coming up.
Yeah, we've had to filter out the non-family-friendly ones.
Yeah, imagine that. I mean, I can't hardly believe that anyone would name their Wi-Fi router something that we couldn't say on the air, but yeah, there are a bunch. And, of course, we invite your participation that way as well. Do you have a fun or unique name for your Wi-Fi router? If not, why not? You know, you can name it pretty much anything. You don't have to name it just router or the company name that it came with or something. Get creative. Or if you drop down available Wi-Fi in your area and there's some funny ones or different ones, share them with us. Or when you're at the coffee shop or something and you see, well, that's weird, you know, well, do a screen capture or something and then call in. Chris is about to give you that phone number, followed by Beth giving you that phone number, so that one way or the other, you'll remember it. You'll make a note. And call us anytime, day or night, with any consumer tech question, help for other listeners, your favorite app these days, or your favorite fun Wi-Fi router names, because we have a whole bunch more, and we'll share them with you throughout the day today. But we want to hear from you.
At 800-899-4686.
800-899-INTO.
There you go. INTO, if you want to handle it that way. Certainly one of the many new services introduced during Monday's Apple event was an upcoming feature they're calling the world's first gaming subscription for mobile, desktop, and living room. Oof, quote unquote. Apple teams up with a bunch of Hollywood peeps to create new original TV shows, as well as they also introduced Apple TV Plus, because they already had Apple TV.
Yeah.
It's a device. So now Apple TV Plus is going to be a video streaming service.
I can't keep up with all these places to watch movies and shows. I just can't do it.
Well, and they say that they're spending $1 billion to produce content for that.
Wow. Because it's supposed to be original content,
yeah,
like sitcoms and other stuff. So I guess we'll see how that goes. Apple says it'll be the highest quality storytelling. Oh, please. And it'll be available in 100-plus countries and released starting this fall through the Apple TV app.
I wonder if all the content will be edited on iMovie.
probably that'll be something they'll insist on. Of course, they have not announced a price yet.
Oh, it'll be expensive.
Oh, I'm sure it will be, because you're going to pay for the Apple.
Well, and of course, if they've already announced that they're spending $1 billion on it, then that's they're setting you up to say, well, this is why we have to charge you a lot per month, because we've got to pay for $1 billion worth of content.
I wonder if they're going to try to be competitive, at least. Do you think it might be Hulu-like or Netflix-like or Amazon Prime Video-like pricing?
Maybe. And then, but then you also got services lately, like YouTube has been canceling. They canceled two of their, apparently, their high-rated shows, which have then had people thinking that, okay, well, is YouTube maybe trying to get out of that original content business? But now YouTube basically is releasing statements contrary to that, saying, no, we're still going to be competing, and we'll see.
The plot thickens. Stay tuned, of course. We'll stay on it for you. If you're a news junkie, you can subscribe to Apple News Plus for $10 a month. They have announced the pricing for that one, at least. All of which you could buy with your new Apple credit card.
Awesome.
OMG. More ways for Apple to get more money out of you. And if you drink the Kool-Aid, you're going to want all these things, and that's what Apple counts on. So good luck with that.
That you have to replace shortly.
Yeah. After. And they're trying to say Apple credit card, you know, no late fees or anything. Well, but they're going to charge you interest.
Yeah, and I saw somewhere that their interest rates start at like 14%, which is ridiculous.
Yikes.
Yeah, they're not doing you any favors.
Yeah, that's how they can get away with not charging any late fees, because they're going to charge you 14% interest.
Yeah, they're going to make money. And they want you to be late. Oh, wait, they're late. Don't tell them. Don't tell them we're going to make more money. Oh, my gosh. Oh, but it's doing you a favor, because they're Apple.
Exactly.
And they're here to help.
Well, and the physical card, that they'll apparently you can use it with wherever you use Apple Pay. So it works on your phone, but then they'll send you apparently like a titanium card if you're somewhere that they don't take the NFC payments. You
use please.
Card.
Titanium card. So that's some of the big question mark Apple news from their big question mark event.
This is called iCrap.
Yeah, there you go. And they didn't announce any new phones or anything, so you didn't miss anything. Don't worry. But you can get an Apple credit card and maybe sign up for Apple News and Apple TV Plus and all that other kind of nonsense.
So for products, you have to wait till later in the year. It's usually around September, October that they do those.
But a lot of people thought, oh, maybe they'll announce some new products. No, don't get excited.
I need a new product. I have two Apple products that don't work.
Well, see, what you do is you get an Android device that does work. Why is she giggling about that?
Because, you know, we're all tied in that Apple thing.
Oh, you're
the
drinking the Kool-Aid.
iMessages and the phones and the Find My Phone and that I can't use right now because it's broken.
I can use my smartwatch and find my phone, and my Android phone will pop up and make noise and do whatever.
I can use my eyes and find my phone.
Can you use your eyes and find your kid's phone right now?
Well, my kid's six. He doesn't have a phone.
There you go. Answered and asked. No further questions. You're a witness. And by the way, I'll drop all charges. Yes. Anyway.
So, of course, Monday is April Fool's Day.
And no kidding.
Yeah. And many people hate April Fool's Day. So Microsoft is taking a stand against its own corporate pranks. Microsoft's marketing chief, Chris Capossela, has warned all employees to not participate in the process of annoying hoaxes on Monday.
He's warned them.
In an internal memo, Capossela explains that data tells us these stunts have limited positive impact and can actually result in unwanted news cycles. He encourages all teams inside Microsoft to not do any public-facing April Fool's stunts.
Interesting.
Now, I'm still waiting to see what Google's going to do, because Google usually does something funny.
Oh, of course.
Yes, they do.
And I hope they do something funny against Microsoft, because this guy warned all their internal people not to do any April Fool's jokes.
And it was funny, because I talked about this last week during This Week in Tech History, that Gmail was released on April 1st. So a lot of people thought that Gmail was an April Fool's joke.
Yeah, that Google just did an April Fool's joke. And it was a joke initially, because you couldn't get Gmail unless you were invited.
Oh,
so it had to be
right.
Very, very special.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of was an April Fool's joke, and then they realized, okay, well, that's not going well. It's creating a lot of buzz, and it did. But then they realized that perhaps we shouldn't be you know, just doing that.
Well, and I guarantee you, not knowing much about marketing, but knowing enough about it to know that probably was there a plan all along. You make an invitation only in the beginning because that's what gets people to talk about it.
Yeah,
that's what gets them to want it.
It had us talking about it that many years ago. It's like, what's this? You'd need an invitation for a
I got invited pretty quickly. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I did too, by Google Public Relations or something. It was like, but still, I thought it was goofy. But it worked for them. It absolutely created the buzz. And, of course, we all fell for it. Well, we knew why they were doing it. But we all talked about it in that sense. And that was very strange. Now you can get a whole bunch of Gmail accounts without any issue, without any problem. And just, you know, most of us have a dozen of them.
Exactly.
To avoid spam. You know, you make sure it's a Gmail account that you don't ever check and put that down whenever you sign up for stuff. If you have to go get an activation code, then fine. Go look at it then and then never go back.
Could be.
You know, my only problem is I do that with these separate email addresses that I have so I don't get spam on my main one. But when I go to log in somewhere that needs your email address to log in, I don't remember which email address I used on this particular
site. That's true. Because if you got like a dozen Gmail addresses, what can you do? But you guys were talking about drinking the Kool-Aid. Julio in the control room says he thinks he may have consumed enough of the Kool-Aid. Can you believe it? He's been eyeing the Samsung Galaxy S10.
Well, that's because he's the only one that uses his phone. He doesn't have, like, kids and family members all connected on the same account that all use it, and that's where Apple gets you.
Well, yeah, but you could still have an Android and have your kids on, God forbid, Apple devices.
Nope, doesn't work that way.
It could be iPhone-ies.
Nope. Not for all the things we use. That's where the problem lies. I'd have to get them all Androids.
But you know what caught Julio? The commercial where he saw you could put another phone on the back of the S10 and charge it has built-in QI charging. And he went, no way!
No, that would
and
be
I
cool.
said, way? And any phone with QI, not just another Samsung or another S10, you can put your phone on the back of his. They can kiss butts. And he can charge your phone. Now, you can't do that on any Apple device, nor could you do QI charging until only recently on iPhones.
Which also means that you'll probably soon be able to do that on iPhones, because that's what they tend to do. iPhone, Apple borrows from Samsung, then Samsung borrows from Apple.
And then they sue each other, and then we all sit back and laugh until it's $1,000 for a phone. But then we hopefully all live happily ever after.
Yeah.
One of my main problems is where I live. There's a lot of places cell service doesn't work. But we can have Wi-Fi. And as you've experienced, because you've yelled at me for not answering a text, because...
I don't yell at you for not
answering
a text.
Because I'm only on Wi-Fi, so I only get iMessages back and forth.
Excuse me, if you're on Wi-Fi, you should be able to get texts.
Not between your phone
and
iPhone.
It does
comes
with Android.
If I have cell service.
Oh, my gosh. See, you iPhonies are always justifying everything.
Oh, I'm not justifying it. It's an expensive phone that doesn't work right now.
That's right. She's carrying two iPhones. One of them, the mic doesn't work. The other one, I think the earphone doesn't work. And the, I mean, it's
black
really...
now. I don't know.
So we have to text Beth unless we want to speak to her. Then we have to call the other phone, which is her
daughter's phone, which is not working now. It died yesterday.
That's the thing. I tried calling her for something the other day, and I just get a, you know, she doesn't, you know, it goes right to voicemail, and then I get a text back. I can't talk. My microphone doesn't work. Text me. I'm
like, thank God you can text 911 these days.
Can you, though?
At least in where I come from. You
call your county. You can text 911.
Yes.
Julio, text 911 and then just tell Miami-Dade you're just testing it to make sure you can text. And that way he'll go to jail, not us. Oh, wait. They don't worry about false police reports anymore. Oh, no. This isn't Chicago. as a former police officer, I'm ticked. But anyway.
Tech show. This is a tech show.
I know. I'm trying to stay on target. But first time ever I agreed with Rahm Emanuel about anything. But it's a tech show. We're not talking politics or stuff.
So let's talk tech.
Well, if we are going to veer politics, I will tell you that as of the time we're recording the show, it's still unclear if Robert Mueller's report of his nearly two-year investigation of Russian interference in the presidential election will be made public. But despite that fact, you can not only pre-order a copy of the report on Amazon, one of the listings, which is being sold by the Washington Post, is already ranked as a bestseller on Amazon. You know, however, the listing does contain a disclaimer saying that the publication date listed as April 30th, 2019 is just a placeholder.
Yeah, of course, because they don't know. Yeah. We don't know if it'll... And if it is released, it'll certainly be heavily redacted, because no doubt there's some national security kinds of things in there. They're naming names. They're doing sources and methods for investigations. You can't give that stuff up.
I just find it funny that at places like Amazon, you could purchase these things. We don't even know if we're going to be able to get it.
But you can pre-order.
Yeah.
And in case it's available... You can get it. Oh, and it's already on the bestseller list, even though it's not even selling. Go figure.
Gotta love tech.
Yeah. Without tech, where would we be? Enjoying life and in a much better place. Hey, wait, we do a tech show for 24 years.
I always tell people it's very ironic since I'm such a tech guy, but I would have loved life 100 years ago.
You know, you should just move to the Pennsylvania Amish country, and then you would love life. Now,
there you go.
Turn your own butter.
I like butter.
Yeah. Hi, yeah, yeah. Well, speaking
and I do like making furniture.
No zippers, all buttons only. And
okay, so back to the tech. Speaking of scammers.
Scammers? Who's speaking of scammers?
Wait a minute. We're talking about Amish, and you're talking about scammers?
Well, hey.
Trying to say something?
The good news is they can't hear us saying that, so
exactly.
It's all right.
Anyhow.
They don't listen to radio, you see.
Mm-hmm. Like I was saying.
Okay, you were saying something about scammers.
Yes.
All right.
If you're a Netflix or American Express user, beware.
They're
of the
scammers.
Latest email-based phishing scams.
Oh, boy.
And while American Express may be a scammer, I don't know. Netflix is pretty good to me. But the scammers have done a really good job at making people think the scams are legit by using the company's logos as well as forms that look almost exactly like the forms from each of their websites.
Sure.
Users are receiving notices telling them they are locked out of their accounts or need to provide additional information, which is all part of the scam. So if any of you users receive any of these notices, just be sure to contact Netflix or American Express. You have their number on your bill or their website.
Of course, or look on the back of your card for Amex or something.
Exactly.
I get those kind of things all the time for Chase Bank. Very urgent. Log in. It looked very official with their logo. Log into your account now. Click here. But I don't have a Chase account. So I know.
Exactly.
I know that it's spam and scammers. But the sad part is a lot of people do. And a lot of folks, be they young or old or in between, go, oh my gosh, there's something wrong with my account. And you may not think about it. Don't ever click a link in an email that you're not sure of. Mouse over it, which you can typically not do on your cell phones. But if you're on a laptop or desktop, you can mouse over. Does it go to chase.com/whatever or American Express? If it doesn't, there you go. Just immediately hit the spam button and go on with your life. But it's happening with a lot of people. But yes, Netflix and American Express have had an extra share of these kinds of scams lately for some reason.
Yes.
And people are believing it. So good advice. Just be careful. Don't click a link.
And just call. I've gotten a couple of things that they try to scam with my bank. And I just call the bank. Hey, did you send me a note?
Yeah.
They say, no, we did not.
Well,
Netflix
is kind of squirrely anyway, because I had canceled my subscription because I was trying to save that $11 a month.
Yeah.
And my subscription ended on March 25th. It was the last day. So on March 25th, I figured, you know what, let me see if there's anything I want to watch real quick before I lose it. Apparently, they know I'm a history buff because I come across a mini-series documentary on Roosevelt's. And so I watched the first episode. I'm thinking, well, crap, now I got to watch the rest of this. In order to watch the rest of it, I got to restart my subscription.
Oh, so, sucker.
So they suckered me into restarting my subscription, which after I did, then a message pops up on my TV. Thank you for resubscribing. By the way, your rate is going up on March 26th, which was the next day, to $12.99 a month. It's like, great. So not only did they sucker me into getting my subscription back, now they get $2 more a month out of me.
What do you think about any of this? 800-899-INTO. And we'll meet you at intotomorrow.com.
OWC, your source for connectivity, offers a wide variety of USB-C and Thunderbolt 3 docks to help you connect to your world. Ranging from travel docks with HDMI, USB 3, SD ports, and USB-C power pass-through while on the road, to desktop docks providing power to charge your laptop, and 14 ports to connect your monitors, external drives, headphones, wired Ethernet, and other devices using a single cable. See all the OWC products at owc.com/into.
Welcome back into Tomorrow.
I'm Beth Gatrell, and this portion of Into Tomorrow is brought to you by OWC, your source for connecting your laptop to the world. Special Into Tomorrow products and pricing at owc.com/into. That's owc.com/into.
Jump aboard the time machine.
You got mail.
Time to head into yesterday with This Week in Tech History.
History.
Here's Chris.
Chris's history.
Hey. This week in 1960, the first U.S. weather satellite was launched. Tyros 1 was put into orbit. The Tyros 1 satellite transmitted the first television pictures from space, and meteorologists saw the first pictures of a mid-latitude cyclone over the northeastern U.S.
Goodbye.
In 1975, this week, Microsoft was founded as a partnership between Bill Gates and Paul Allen in Albuquerque, New Mexico. 1 year later, in 1976, Apple was formed by Steve Jobs, Steve Wozniak, and Ronald Wayne. Just a few weeks later, Ronald Wayne sold his 10% stake in Apple for $800.
Yeah.
Had he kept that 10% stake today, it would be worth over $75.5 billion.
Wow.
In 1981, this week, the Osborne 1, the first successful portable computer, was unveiled at the West Coast Computer Fair in San Francisco. In 2004, Google announced a new service to the public, a project that up until then was known by the codename Caribou. The project's real name was Gmail.
And it that ought to keep the little squirts happy.
And it quickly became one of the most popular email services around. And this week, in 2010, Apple released the first-generation iPad, which quickly became the most popular tablet computer.
No, Pinky.
That's our look back at This Week in Tech History, brought to you by IFA in Berlin, the global innovation show since 1924 for consumer tech and home appliances, and by IFA Next, the launchpad for innovations. Get more info at ifa-berlin.com.
You know, the three of us in the studio reminds me of this.
The Three Amigos!
Oh, yeah. Boy.
IntoTomorrow.com for more on Julio in the control room.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-806-3752. That's 800-806-3752.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-806-3752. That's 800-806-3752.
Letting you know what else you just can't live without, you're tuned into Tomorrow. I'm Dave Graveline. For 23 years now, we've been covering the latest in consumer electronics and technology, products and services, all sorts of gadgets and gizmos, whatever the case, available today and into tomorrow. Our next guest comes to us from a source for practical advice, new products, and leading-edge technology dedicated to enhancing the Wi-Fi experience. That caught our attention because we all have Wi-Fi concerns. He's known as the Wi-Fi guru. He's the CEO of Milo Wi-Fi, Jeff Parker. Jeff, welcome into Tomorrow. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having me, Dave.
It's a pleasure to have you. First of all, tell me a little bit about Milo Wi-Fi, and then let's get into some of the causes for Wi-Fi dead zones and things that I'm sure we've all experienced.
Well, thanks. Milo Wi-Fi was developed to help mostly homeowners, although some people use it in small businesses also, who have a Wi-Fi router in their house, and it just doesn't cover everywhere that they'd like to use Wi-Fi. You know, with Wi-Fi being used by so many different devices today, whether it's the doorbell in your home where you get to see who's coming up your doorstep, or it's a smart TV, or maybe you went out and bought one of those smart plugs that you can control lamps and other items from, people want Wi-Fi to work everywhere, and sometimes not even just inside their house. They want to control pool pumps or listen to music by their pool or their deck. So what Milo Wi-Fi is intended to do is to help consumers take the Wi-Fi and move it without degrading the speed that they get, without degrading the signal, and do it any place you want to use Wi-Fi. That's the purpose.
And I think, Jeff, you bring up a good point that a lot of folks don't stop to think that we're really, in many ways, I guess, taxing our Wi-Fi router because we are adding so many other devices. And whether it's something that we're doing with the TV, whether it's a smart TV or we're adding, you know, various additional items for over-the-top connections and streaming and whatnot, and even video doorbells and cameras and whatnot, if these are all on our Wi-Fi, of course, it's probably slowing it down. We hear from a lot of listeners that say they're regularly having to just reboot their Wi-Fi router, and that seems to help. But if you have to do that often, that's obviously not the cure.
No, that's exactly right. So you have to, you know, what do they say? Many hands make for light lifting. So think of it as you've got multiple Wi-Fi devices that are cooperating with each other. You install these in key locations in your home. They're all wireless, so you don't have to run wires or cables. You just plug them into a wall outlet. Mm-hmm. And they coordinate to give you the kind of Wi-Fi experience as if you're right next to your router, even though you may be way on the other side of your house or in your basement or your backyard.
I'm noticing on your site at milowifi.com, you've got various devices, some for up to 1,250 feet, then up to 2,500, then even up to 3,750 feet. So if you've got a big house, good for you, but you probably need the ability to repeat with good quality, it seems, obviously, your Wi-Fi signal and get it out there. It's more than just throw up another router and hope for the best, right?
No, that's exactly right. You know, maybe the simplest way to think about it, you know, there's millions of these boosters and repeaters that have been sold over the years. We've probably all seen them. They plug into a wall outlet. They've got two little antennas. Many of them aren't the most attractive looking thing, but they've been out for a while. And the challenge with those is, you know, Albert Einstein had a great saying, everything should be made as simple as possible, but no simpler.
Yeah,
and
true.
I think that's an oversimplification. And so lots of people who've tried those have said, you know, I spent not a lot of money, $29, $39, $49, and I put this thing in, and it kind of works, but it usually doesn't, and it really didn't achieve what I wanted. This Milo is designed to be that, but elegant and working and not unreliable. So it's the bridge between having nothing and having something that really works.
And of course, you know, we've talked for many, many years on the air about how your Wi-Fi router has to get through walls. It's got to penetrate various parts of your house. And it's not unusual that, for example, maybe you have a two-story house and you have great signal on the floor that the router's at, but then that's it. Then it's dead zone anywhere else in the house. And those are the kinds of things that I guess people are struggling with on a regular basis.
Exactly. You know, the challenge with Wi-Fi for most people is the location that the Wi-Fi typically starts is next to the internet service provider's modem where they brought the internet into your house. And that's usually going to be on one side of the house. So that's fine where that's located. But then what do you do 50 feet and three walls away?
Yeah.
And that's the challenge people have.
Now, I'm also, every time I do an interview, I listen to my listeners in my head, which probably is spooky. But I'm hearing people thinking about, well, Dave, what about you always recommend switching frequencies? You know, maybe our neighbors are all on the same frequency, so it's not that difficult to just switch frequencies. Do you find, Jeff, that can help in some cases, but again, still limited in getting your signal around the house?
You know, it can help. It definitely is a partial solution, but think of it this way. If your home has Wi-Fi, let's say, coming in on the east side of the home, and you're trying to get a good Wi-Fi connection on the west side of the home, and again, maybe that's that 40 or 50 feet away and three or four walls, the signal from your neighbor next door is likely stronger from their Wi-Fi router than the one you're trying to listen to on your Wi-Fi router on the other side of the house. That's what generates the problem.
Very true.
So that's why when you distribute the Wi-Fi system like we described, you're no longer having a competition with a stronger signal. Your own Wi-Fi is the strongest signal, and that's ultimately what you really want to achieve.
Yeah, because you can't take slow for an answer. I like that.
Well, thank you.
So is the Milo system then basically considered a distributed Wi-Fi system? We hear that kind of bantered about every so often. And if so, it does provide these benefits that you've been talking about.
It is. It's a distributed Wi-Fi system. And if you think about it, that type of solution has been used now for years very successfully in commercial buildings. If you go to a commercial office or a hospital or some large building, they'll distribute these Wi-Fi nodes up in the ceiling usually. Mm-hmm. But the thing there is they're wired from Wi-Fi box to Wi-Fi box. And, you know, it's easy to do that in these dropped commercial ceilings. But you can walk around those buildings, never drop the Wi-Fi signal. It always works just the way it's supposed to. So think of that solution for your home, but you don't have to run the cables between the units. It's all wireless.
And that's good. And, of course, if you've got the luxury building a new home and you can pre-wire for stuff, hey, go for it. By all means, run the heck out of LAN cables that will always come in handy at some point. But most of us don't have that ability.
Precisely. That's exactly right.
So,
listen, most of our homes were built long before anybody thought about Wi-Fi.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. Give us an idea, Jeff, as to costs for the Milo units. Because you mentioned, as did I, that you've got several different kinds to cover larger homes or areas that are having more difficulty. How do we price that?
So it's a fully scalable system, meaning if you wanted to just try one unit and say, I'm going to wirelessly connect this one Milo unit to my existing Wi-Fi, maybe you put it in the middle of your home where the Wi-Fi is still reasonable and it covers the rest of the home on the other half that's not getting covered, a Milo unit can be as little as $59.
Okay.
And, yeah.
And it's a one-time purchase. It's not a subscription or anything like that. You don't pay monthly.
No.
You buy the device.
Correct.
How difficult is it to connect it to my existing Wi-Fi if we have a Milo unit?
There's an app that we have with the product that you can use on any smartphone, whether it's an Apple or an Android-based phone. And I would say to set that up would take you a single unit less than 5 minutes, probably 3 or 4 minutes.
Okay, and this is with the app, I'm assuming, so that you're just simply
correct.
Telling it, here's my existing Wi-Fi, connect, talk to it, play nice together, and you're living hopefully happily ever after.
Exactly. It gives you a few tips, by the way. Where's the best location to put it? How can you determine that you're getting the maximum data speeds? It has some pretty cool features to give you the visibility to know that you're getting the most out of the system you can get. And then if you say, okay, I've got my one unit, and maybe 2 months later you say, gee, now I'd like to extend it out to my pool. I wonder if I could connect the second unit up and go even further. It's fully scalable. So you can have up to 10 Milo units, and you can just string these things together wirelessly. It'll figure out the best route to take and the best frequencies to use. And it's also a cloud-based product, meaning that there's a connection up to the internet through the cloud where it automatically downloads updates, so we keep you up to date with the best possible software and firmware.
Great. And then what about security? Can folks, is it easier or more difficult at that point for neighbors to try to get into my Wi-Fi?
It uses the same security as the standard Wi-Fi standard uses, which is very good encryption. I wouldn't say it's any more secure or any less secure. I'd say it's about as secure as any good Wi-Fi router that you buy today.
Good. And that's a perfectly good idea. We have listeners occasionally that say, well, you know, I've increased the speed from my internet provider, or I finally got fiber, and yet I still don't have the coverage around the house. Well, of course, speed isn't going to have anything to do with your coverage, but these units can handle, you said, any speeds that your existing Wi-Fi is dealing with, right?
That's true, yes. So if you think about wireless and you think about speed, unfortunately, even in the best, most expensive Wi-Fi devices today, over distance, the speed will decrease. So as an example, if I started out with 100 megabits per second at my internet connection, and I now am on the other end of my house, you know, maybe I'm down to 10 or 20 megabits. It just the signal degrades, and that degrade in signal will unfortunately decrease your speed.
Sure.
With a system like this, actually, we will pick the speed back up. We won't be able to keep it up at 100, but I've seen plenty of our systems out there where if you had 100 megabits coming in, you could get to the other end of your home and still have 50 or 60 megabits, which is a gracious plenty to do. I mean, 4K video streaming is only 15 megabits.
MiloWiFi.com, MiloWiFi.com. We'll get you there, of course, when you visit us at intotomorrow.com. Jeff Parker, the CEO, also known as, and I know why now, the Wi-Fi guru from Milo Wi-Fi. Thanks for spending a few minutes with us. We'll get you back on again soon, and maybe we'll even snag one from you to test for a while and talk more about it on the air.
Dave, we would love to do that. Thanks for having us on.
It's a pleasure. MiloWiFi.com. I'm Dave Graveline. We'll continue bringing you further into tomorrow right here on the Advanced Media Network.
What if people with type 1 diabetes had the power to manage their condition without finger sticks? To always know their glucose levels and where they're heading with just a glance at their smart device? To customize alerts and alarms to help keep them in range? All this knowledge powered by a small wearable. Introducing the Dexcom G6. Make knowledge your superpower. For a list of compatible smart devices, visit dexcom.com/compatibility. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G6 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions.
Welcome back into tomorrow. Another tech tidbit for you. In 2012, check this out, at least 17 newborn girls were named Siri.
Talk about drinking the Kool-Aid.
I know. We were talking drinking the Kool-Aid, and people are naming the poor kids Siri.
That's
now,
crazy.
I get that Alexa is a common name, and there's a lot of kids named Alexa, I'm sure, adults, what have you. I have yet to hear of anybody named Google Home Mini. So let's hope that that doesn't become an issue. By the way,
isn't Siri Tom Cruise's daughter's name? Did his daughter come first, or did Apple come first?
I think it's
Siri.
Siri with a U.
Siri.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
Like Curry. But Surrey.
Sorry.
Got it. By the way, in the event you care, I'm Dave Graveline.
And I'm Beth Gatrell.
And I'm Chris Graveline. And this portion of Into Tomorrow is brought to you in part by HughesNet, high-speed satellite internet available where you live or work. If you want information, text the word radio to 35,000. Again, text the word radio to 35,000.
Melinda in Anchorage, Alaska, listening to Into Tomorrow each and every week without fail on 700 KBYR Alaska Talks here. Hey, Melinda.
I just wanted to tell you a quince is a fruit. That I think that starts with a Q. A quince. It's sweet.
A quint. Okay.
Quince.
Okay.
Q-U-I-N-C-E.
Because Julio had Quimby gum or something like that. What is it?
Quench gum.
But it can't be that.
And quince, I had to look it up because I'd never heard of it. It looks like a combination between an apple and a pear.
Oh, and sweet.
Yes.
So we're talking about what the next Android 10, will be the letter Q. And last week we had this big discussion about what on earth are they going to call it? Because we've had Marshmallow.
The Queen?
Well, they had some sweet music, but I don't think they've been always doing a dessert kind of thing. So we're going crazy. So Melinda says, okay, maybe it could be quince. Let's see.
Quiche?
Well, but a quiche is not a dessert, though.
And
by the way, real men eat quiche. I like quiche. But I guess you could make a sweet quiche.
You could. Well, I know people that do.
Yeah, okay, well, that's weird. They must be catering people. Mm-hmm. But I don't know about that one. Robert in Fairbanks, Alaska, listening on 970 KFBX. Hey, Robert.
You asked for sweetness with a Q,
yes.
Quince. Or someone might pronounce it Quincy. It's a fruit.
Okay, well, there you go. We got two fruits in a row, but the same. Quince.
We must not have those fruits here in Florida.
No, I've never heard of quince, and you had to look it up.
I had to look it up.
So it's certainly not something that would grow here in Miami area.
I need to talk to my Alaska friends.
Yeah, you should. But quince.
But see, our Alaskan listeners are smart.
Well, of course they are, because A, they listen to the show, but B, they know about this.
Mm-hmm.
But we've had a heck of a time, and others calling in. Stay tuned. We have some other input. But still, nobody's come up with, like, a dessert beginning with Q. The closest would be this quince fruit.
Maybe you make a pie out of a quince, then there's quince pie.
No, because we currently have pie. Android 9 is pie.
Like I said last week, maybe they're just going to skip Q. I mean, you know, Apple and others skip, you know, 10 or 9, whatever they skip. But
you can't skip a letter. But they could go right to R, and then you could have rutabaga or something. That would be kind of interesting. What do you think? What do you think Android, Google Android 10, is letter Q? What would be sweet beginning with a Q that it could be named? Because that way we will mention it first here on Into Tomorrow. 800-899-4686. That's 800-899-INTO. Anytime, day or night, at your convenience.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-665-6113, 800-665-6113, 800-665-6113.
Into Tomorrow continues. The English word for red panda is Firefox, which is where the browser gets its name from. This means the Firefox logo is actually a red panda, not a fox. Another little tech tidbit for you here on Into Tomorrow.
And this portion of Into Tomorrow is brought to you in part by StreamGuys.com, providing the audio streaming for all 3 hours of Into Tomorrow via our website at IntoTomorrow.com.
We've been having fun lately the last couple, 3 weeks with clever, funny, unusual, bizarre Wi-Fi router names in your area. So here's a few more that I've run across recently. One of my favorites is $1 per hour. That's just the name of the router. It kind of makes you wonder, for what? But you might want to inquire. How about this one? Amish Rebel.
That's a good one.
Because they wouldn't generally, right, have it. And this one, 11 Dalmatians. Makes you go, what? Not 101, just 11 Dalmatians. You've come up with a couple.
One of them is 100 megabits per second, all for me, losers.
Now, that's a long name, but it certainly makes you chuckle if you're looking through available Wi-Fi in your neighborhood and going, really? Okay, I'm a loser.
Yeah, another one that was named, to connect, hit Alt F4. Now, if you're on a Windows machine, Alt F4 closes the Windows.
Yes.
Nice.
And I can see a lot of people do, whoops, what happened?
Yeah. I found one that would surely freak out like my daughter, but there's one that says, I'm in your bathroom.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Do, 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 do.
Mm-hmm. Or how about the ones that say government use only?
Yeah, that usually can freak some people out. We've talked about FBI van, DEA undercover, you know, things like that. Another one or two there real quick.
How about corrupt signal?
Okay.
Maybe they don't want to connect to that one.
That's different. You know, because folks who just leave it at their regular router manufacturer's name or something, that's just odd. And, okay, Julio, lean toward the mic and tell me. He just found one in our own neighborhood right here.
This one's called Mom. Click here for internet.
Yep. Which is very helpful, because maybe Mom doesn't know. Which one do I connect to? Mom, click here for internet.
That one's
but that, make sure your password protected so that she has to ask you what the password is.
One of the neighbors at my house has one that's named Free Wi-Fi, then a bunch of spaces, then Psych.
I like it. What do you think? 800-899-INTO.